Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, as we are here tonight again, as we share the word of God, teach us and give us an understanding of how to make ready in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Be ye also ready. That's what I want to just share with us for a few minutes tonight. Be ye also ready. Now, this story in Matthew 25, it's been preached here at the church several times. But I want to share a particular perspective with us tonight. So let's turn to the story in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet their bridegroom. So these are 10 virgins, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, right away we see that that's a terrible percentage right there, 50%. That's not good at all. 50% are foolish of all of the, this story here that Jesus is telling. You know, it's a parable that he told. You know, and he said, look, they that were foolish, they took their lamps, but took no oil with them. And but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Notice that, all of them, whether wise or foolish, they all slumbered and slept. And then at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So when they heard this, bridegroom is coming, you know, there was a lamp trimming time. They all got up, trimmed their lamps, you know, crank up the wick of the lamp and cut off the dead part of it and so forth. Tune up the lamps, whatever it is they needed to do, get the lamps. And then, as soon as they finished, verse 8, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, our lamps are gone out. I want you to notice that their lamps are gone out, is what they said. That means at some point in time, the lamp was actually burning. This is the perspective that I want to bring today, because most of the time when we read this story, it's kind of like people think that, oh, they had no oil at all. No, they had oil, they just did not take extra oil. You know, they just took the one that was already in the lamp. But they carried it as it was, and they didn't think ahead that, the journey may be long, or the wait may be long, and this oil that is in the lamp may be finished, and that they need a separate reservoir, an extra. You know, so their lamps had gone out. Gone out means, you know, it died. So they had the lamp. The lamp was burning at one time, but it had now gone out. So the wise answered them when they asked for oil, no, there will not be enough for us and you, but you go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now notice, and this is the part that I want to underscore in this exhortation. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open unto us, and so forth. But he answered and said, verily, I know you not. So he told them, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So this story, you know, the moral of this story, I want to point out here, you know, it's not so much as dissecting what does the lamp mean, what does the oil mean, and all of these things. I've heard so many explanations like that. All of those are wonderful. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I just want to talk about readiness. Because that's all that Jesus is pointing out here. Those that were ready went in. The others were not ready. You know, so the question I want to ask every one of us that is here today is this. You know, what is it that is not going to make you ready? Or let me put it a different way. What is it that you need to do in order to be getting ready? Now, we know that these people, their lamps ran out. So at one point in time, the lamps were actually burning, but they ran out because they couldn't sustain the long, drawn-out wait. Because the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. All of them. I don't want us to just dissect the story and say the lamp means this, the oil means this, that means that, and this means that. Well, you can do that, that's fine too. But the one point that I want to bring out here is that, all of them slumbered and slept. Whether they had oil or didn't have oil, they all slumbered and slept. So think about that. But before they slumbered and before they slept, some of them had already made preparation. But some didn't make preparation. It's like when you're going to travel in the morning, you have an early morning flight. You know how it is these days. They want you to be there, especially if it's international travel or something like that. They want you in the airport 2 hours ahead of time. So let's say you have to be, you have a 6 o'clock flight. You have to be there at 4 a.m. or whatever it is. The night before, or days leading up to that travel, if you didn't prepare, you didn't pack your things and so on and so forth, and when you wake up, if you wake up at 4 a.m., and that's when you want to start packing, you're most likely going to be late or miss that flight. That means you are not ready. You're just not ready for that. You're not ready to travel. But somebody who is ready for that trip, who had made preparations, they've purchased their luggage and they've packed the things they need and they've gone and weighed it and made sure that it's within the weight limit and so forth. And they've taken care to say that, well, I don't have any liquids that should not be in my hand luggage. And they've done all of that, and they're ready for the trip. They can still sleep. It doesn't mean that they don't have to sleep. They can sleep. They've done all the things that they want. Now they can rest, wake up the next day, be refreshed, and then go because they are ready. So it is not the fact that these people slept, because they actually all slept while they were waiting. They were all tired, so they slept. So it wasn't that. But the problem was that before the sleeping time came, some of them were prepared that when we wake up, we're still probably going to go many hours before he comes. So let's make preparation. Others were not prepared. So what I'm underscoring in this story is that some were prepared and others were not prepared. Now, examine yourselves, the Bible says, whether you be in the faith. Are you making preparation for the great celebration? So there's going to be a great celebration. These people missed it. They scrambled at the last minute and it was too late. Now the point of the story is purely they were not ready. I don't know what the oil means, what they went to buy, whatever all that means. I don't know. Some people said it's Holy Spirit, is this and that, whatever that means. But the fact of the matter is they were not ready. Because they did not put their lives in order, and the time at which they should have done it, they didn't do it. So they were scrambling at the last minute. This is the point that I want to bring out. This is the perspective that I want to bring out in this story. They were scrambling at the last minute. That is the thing that Jesus is pointing out here. So, let us not, because, people have analyzed these parables in such a way that they justify themselves. Some people say, all those people that don't have oil is because they don't have the Holy Spirit. So everybody thinks that, well, just because they have the Holy Spirit, that means they're ready. That's the farthest thing from the truth. So that's why I don't want to interpret this parable like that at all. Because it's the farthest thing from the truth. So people just think, well, I got the Holy Spirit, or I can speak in tongues, or whatever it is, and so forth. No. These people all had oil at one time, but their lamps went out. Wasn't that they never had oil, so that's not it. They had oil in the lamps, they just did not take an extra reservoir. I want to make that clear, but because they did not have foresight to think that the journey might be long and, they may need more than just what's in the, those of us who are from Nigeria and so forth, we used to have these kerosene lamps and so forth, or from other parts of Africa. You've seen these lamps before, it has a little reservoir. you know, and you can only put so much kerosene or fuel in it, you know. It can only take so much. And if you're going to depend on that for many, many hours, you're not going to have enough. You're going to have a separate jar or bottle or gallon of gasoline or kerosene or whatever it is. So when that one runs out, you can pour some more. So that's the thing. These people had whatever was in the lamp before, they had it at one time, but they did not have enough and they didn't think ahead. So they were not ready. So that's the key thing. They were not ready. Now, so what is it that we need to do in order to be ready? Now, this question is for everybody. Don't be deceived by saying, well, I speak in tongues, so that means I'm ready. No, that's not what this story is talking about. We all need to make ready. We need to make ready. And how do we make our lives, how do we make ourselves ready? Well, one time somebody came to Jesus and said, oh, good master, what shall I do to be saved and all that? Well, to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, well, you know the law. Do this and do that and so forth. Honor your father and mother. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Don't do this. And the man said, well, I've done all these things since I was a youth and up. And Jesus said, wow, that's nice. But one thing thou lackest. So there could always be this one thing that is lacking. You know, maybe that's the thing that's preventing the preparedness. You know, so that's the one I want us to focus on tonight. What is it that is that one thing that you are lacking? Well, in some cases, it may even be more than one thing. But this man that had done all the, kept all the law and so forth, the thing that was holding him back was his riches. He had great riches, and for some reason, it was holding him back. And Jesus is the only one that knew that, you know, probably others didn't know. But Jesus knew that, so he came right to the point that was holding him back, and he said, look, there's one thing that is still holding you back. Go sell that you have, give to the poor, and then come and follow me, and you have treasure in heaven. And the man went away sorrowful. So there was one thing that was not going to make him ready, you know, that was holding him back. In his own case, it was his dependency on his riches, you know, and so forth, you know. And Jesus had to explain that, look, those that trust in uncertain riches, you know, it's going to be difficult for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is it that is making you not to be ready in your own case? You know, it may not be that, it may be something else. You know, maybe you say, well, I got to do this one thing first, you know, before I give my life to Christ. You know, I got to finish college first, or I got to do this first, or I got to marry first, or I got to do this first. I mean, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, and it could be other areas in our lives that we are just not willing to turn over to the Lord. Whatever it is the point that I want to bring out in this exhortation tonight. You know, what is that oil that you need for your lamp? You know, don't all say it's just one thing, you know, because everybody needs to prepare in different ways. The moral of the story is some were ready. Those that were ready went in. However they were ready, they were ready. And the others that were not ready, they were not ready. You know, so we need to make preparation. Making preparation. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. Let me read to you Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, verse 32. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens, faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. So he's now drilling down into this readiness. And ye yourselves like unto men that watch or wait for their Lord. You know, they're ready, they're watching, they're waiting for him, you know. So that when he will return on the wedding day, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Again, you know, don't dissect this thing word for word and so forth. You know, that's what we do sometimes, and we miss the point. You know, don't dissect this story word for word. The point is, be ye ready, you know. So, blessed are those servants whom when the Lord cometh shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he will come and serve them, and so forth. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants, and so forth. Now, listen to something he says to underscore this readiness. Verse 39. Luke 12, 39. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also. So all of these things he's talking about is just about readiness. Not for us to dissect the story part by part, but readiness. Be ye therefore also ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that ye think not. So that is the point. You know, let us be ready. If you're not ready, you know, this thing is going to catch you unawares. You know, so what I want us to do tonight is to say, Lord, how can I make ready for the coming of the Lord? How can I make ready? You know, one time Jesus sent his disciples, he said, go to such and such a place, and then you find somebody and so forth, you know, and so on. They will lead you to an upper room and tell the owner of the place to make ready, that I will sup there with my disciples today. Make ready. How do you make ready? You know, make ready. I mean, if you are going to have an important guest come to your house and so forth, what do? You got to make ready. You know, sometimes if you are having visitors come over, you have to make ready. You have to clean up your house and do all of whatever it takes. You make ready. So what is it that we need to make ready? How do we make preparation for the coming of the Lord? We need to clean house. Basically, set our house in order, you know. So examine yourselves. That's what the purpose of consecration like this. See where, let the Holy Spirit speak to you and see where, you know, your life is not exactly on track, you know. Because one thing we don't want to do is we don't want to be left behind. Amen? Amen, folks? I don't want to be left behind. You know, one time we showed a movie about this, a clip about this left behind. You don't want to be left behind when the Lord comes, you know, because those who are not ready will be left behind. And the people that are going to be most miserable after the Lord comes are people who have been going to church all their lives. Those will be the most miserable people. And so the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, those who don't care anything about the Lord, don't know anything about it, yeah, they're not going to be as miserable. Well, their own day of judgment will be coming. But the ones that will be most immediately affected are the ones that will find out that, wow, so this thing that they've been talking about all this time has actually finally taken place, and they are left behind, and then they're going to be very, very miserable. So let's make preparation. Let us begin to get ready, you know, this is the one part of the exhortation that I want to leave with you tonight. You know, think of the Lord as coming to your house personally. You know, just think of him as, don't think of the church. You know, people are always thinking the Lord is coming to get the church. Well, maybe, you know, that's wonderful. But just think of yourself as an individual. Don't hide among the group or the crowd, because that's not going to work. You know, it's individual thing. So if you consider yourself individually and just think of it, you know, if the Lord were coming to my house, you know, today or tomorrow, what would I do? I mean, so here's the question I want to ask every one of you that's sitting here today. If the Lord were coming to your house, today is Friday night, right? Let's say the Lord were coming to your house Sunday afternoon. And for some reason you knew today that he's coming on Sunday, what would you do? I mean, what would you do? You know, if you really knew the Lord was coming and he's coming to your house. One time he told Zacchaeus, hey, come down, I'm coming to your house today. You know, so if you knew the Lord was coming to your house, what would you do? You know, what are the things that are in your house that you wouldn't like the Lord to see? Think about that. Perhaps there are some things that you wouldn't even want the Lord to visit. Maybe some things you'll be ashamed of. You know, that's what it means by making preparation. Begin to clean house now. Clean house. Get rid of those things. Get rid of anything that, you know, is grieving the Holy Spirit, and set your life straight with God. Amen. Amen, folks. That's right. That's what it means to get ready for the Lord. You know, make preparation. Think of Him as if He's coming to visit your house. You know, and then begin to say, look, you know, this is not right. You know, and the Lord is not pleased with this. You know, and you know, the Lord has been telling us this all along. It's just that we don't pay attention. The Spirit of God, that's what He does. You know, when He comes, He convicts us of some of these things that are not right in our lives. But sometimes we don't pay attention. We just, you know, we just don't worry about it. You know, but I want you to be paying attention to the things that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind. When He brings these things to your mind, pay attention. You know, so let's not grieve the Holy Spirit, because if the Holy Spirit convicts us or brings things to our attention that we need to fix, and we don't fix these things, you know, enough time passes, the Holy Spirit might be grieved. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved like that, you know, that's not a good place. That's a dangerous place to be, you know, so we don't want to do that. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So I want you to be making preparation. Let's stand to our feet tonight. It's a short exhortation. And that's what I want us to think about tonight. Let us start to make ready for the coming of the Lord. You know, you may have heard about this before. You know, well, the Lord is coming. Well, yes, the Lord indeed is coming soon. And we see so many things that are happening now. You know, and if you don't believe, if before you didn't think that the Lord was just right in the corner, now you can see. You know, because even the Supreme Court jumped on the bandwagon, you know, to say to legalize homosexuality across 50 states. You know, I never heard of any such thing. You know, so, you know, when that's happening, that's just being announced this week, just 2 days ago. You know, when stuff like that is happening, well, Jesus said, you know, that's exactly what will be happening. When He is about coming, you need to listen to our sermon, which we preached some months ago, on handwriting on the wall. You need to listen to that one. But, you know, these things are right there in our face every day on the news. There's no place you turn now in the news. You know, you hear all these things. You know, so I am more convinced, you know, beyond anything else, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And also what they are doing in, you know, in what they are doing in the finances, in Congress, and so on and so forth, racking up, you know, bills and debt for this country that they cannot pay. You know, you know, they are setting themselves up for dictatorship and all of these things, you know, that will have to happen, you know, and they're setting themselves up for a tremendous crash, you know, as it's happening, because you can't print money, you can't do all of these things, you know, when there is no backing, you know, real rare metal backing for it. Some of you may not understand all that, but that's not my subject tonight. But I just want you to know that, look, the Lord is coming soon. Let's make preparation. So I want us to begin to pray and begin to ask the Lord to help you to understand what it means to make ready for the coming of the Lord. But we don't want to scramble at the last minute and then start running up and down and then come in at the last minute and then we're not ready. So that's the point. Now is the time to be ready. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's make preparation in our hearts for the Lord. Lift up your hands and begin to pray and talk to the Lord. Prepare the Lord an habitation in your life and in your heart and so forth. Choose Him as your chief joy. Set your affection, the Bible says, on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. You know, people are going to depression and all of these things because they set their affection on earthly things. And when those things fall away, then they get depressed. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things concerning the coming of the Lord. Make ready for the Lord. Prepare to meet thy God, O Zion. The Bible says, I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is my God, he is my strength and my life. He has become my song and my salvation. He is my Father's God, he said. That song of Moses and so forth. I will prepare him an habitation. Hallelujah. Are you making ready? Are you preparing a habitation? If the Lord were to come, are you preparing? Are you making ready? Let us not be like the foolish virgins that were not ready. Be ye therefore also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, that's the very time that the Son of Man will come. Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You have made us to know these things by your word. You said, lo, I have told you before, and we are not of the night, but we are children of the day, so that the coming of the Lord should not take us unawares. Father, whatever it is that is in our lives, like you said to that young man, that young ruler, where you said, yet thou lackest one thing. Whatever that one thing is, whatever the missing oil in our lamps, Father, Lord, I pray that you begin to speak to our hearts and teach us to humble ourselves. The Bible says, what does the Lord thy God require of thee, O man? But that you humble yourself and walk softly before the Lord in the fear of the Lord all the days of your life. Help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord, and let our lamps be burning and ourselves be ready, so that if he should come in the first, second, third watch, or whatever time, day or night, we will be ready. Father, O Lord, we know that you are able to make this grace to abound towards us. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. We give you the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord as you say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.